Namaskar. Hello and welcome to Peak Guru's channel. I'm your host, Sri Iyer. Joining us is Sriram Seshadri as we discuss the phase two polling trends as well as VoteGate, a new hashtag that is trending in Tamil Nadu about how the middle class have been kept away from polling. So there are lots of questions that need to be asked, and we'll wait and see what Sriramji has to say about what has happened in Tamil Nadu. Is this going to be a trend that will follow in other states also, especially the opposition ruled ones? We will know. Let's welcome Sriram Seshadri. Sriramji, namaskar and welcome to P Guru's channel, sir.
Sir, namaskar and namaskaram to P Guru's viewers.
Sriramji, phase two polling, the number that we've got is like 64.9%. And they say that similar areas, because it might not be the exact same, you know, constituency to constituency in 2019, they are saying in phase two of 2019, it was 69%. Now, yep. This year, we are having an unprecedented heat wave. It is extremely hot. And that is, you know, it is not coming. It is secular. Heat wave is secular. It will keep everybody out.
True. Yeah.
No, I'll let you analyze the thing, sir. Rajasthan had an upsurge. And a few other states had, Chhattisgarh had a good number, I heard. And Uttar Pradesh had a slightly lower number, and so on and so forth. Take it away, sir. Let's take a quick look at what happened in phase two. How do things look like for different parties?
Sure. So overall, about 69% to 70%, you know, we need to wait for that Form 17C to be, filed. But I see that on the turnout, the app, which is an election commission's app that they distribute, where there is a timeline wise, you know, there is an update that happens. When I see that, you know, Bihar about 57.81%, Bihar has gone to poll, I think, you know, five constituencies. So 57.81, and average Katihar is the only one which is just above average. 4% above average. So overall, Bihar, it's in expected lines of, the voting poll. 2019-14 comparison also, it's the same. Assam actually, is recorded about 77.35. And there are, places where, like Dipu and places where there is a bit of a Muslim-populated areas, there seems to be a dip by 4% to 5% vote polling. We need to see why this is happening and then what is the impact of that. Chhattisgarh is an expected line. Chhattisgarh just now went to poll, and then the campaign trail and the popularity of BJP in Chhattisgarh is continuing. I'll come to Karnataka and Kerala at length. Rajasthan went to polls for nearly, I think, 14 seats, if I'm not wrong. Yes, about 14 seats it went to poll. Average about 64%, slight dip in the overall, vote share, votes polled. Ajmer, much below the average. It's about 59%. And Barmer, which is where Vasundhara Raje went and cast her, vote. I think that area is the highest with about 73% votes polled. But overall, about percentage or two lower than the, previous, 2019. But we need to see, because now once Form 17C is filed, you will have a bit of, 1% up. Unlike Tamil Nadu, I think nowhere we had this situation like Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu, we saw certain constituencies having a declared percentage to final after 17C is filed, there is a significant dip by about 13-14% in some constituencies like Central Chennai and South Chennai, and in Coimbatore 8-9% dip in the actual voter turnout that is reported. Now let's come to Uttar Pradesh. Of course, it's an average 54.85. It's in the range that Uttar Pradesh goes to poll. Uttar Pradesh also went to poll in eight constituencies, and in that majority of them are minority dominated constituencies. and Ghaziabad and Meerut, where Ghaziabad and all went to 49.65% votes polled. There is a dip in the voting percentage in Ghaziabad, even including Mathura. Mathura also in the range of 59. Assume that 60. Even then, you know, it is slightly lower than the average, you know, in Uttar Pradesh. I want to turn our attention to two important states, Sri Ayyarji. Number one, Kerala. Kerala specifically, because Kerala went to poll entire constituency, you know, 19, state. If I'm not wrong, 19. Sorry? 19 constituencies went to poll. I want to concentrate mostly on four or five constituencies. Rest are all, you know, CPI, communist, LDF-led, areas. Just want to concentrate on some place like Attingal. Attingal is where BJP is making a significant mark, 68% votes polled, which means, it is slightly below average, but 68% is a significant number for Attingal. But, you know, compared to 2019, there is about 4 to 5% dip in the polling that has happened. The second one I want to talk about is, Pattanamthitta. Because this is one of the area where, Anil Antony's constituency is where BJP is poised to win there. 60.85% votes polled, about 13% lower, if I'm not wrong. I just need to recheck the numbers because I just saw it last evening. And then, I saw at least 8 to 9% dip in the, polls that has happened. Thiruvananthapuram, very interesting one, where Shashi Tharoor is contesting or maybe, third time he is poised to win, but there's going to be very, very difficult. But Thiruvananthapuram, where Rajiv Chandrasekhar, central minister, is also pitted against him. See, if you look at 2014, O. Rajagopal lost the election by 15,000 votes. And that time, the total poll votes polled were in somewhere in the range of, 68%. And in 2019... Shashi Tharoor won with a 1 lakh difference in vote. Kumanam Rajashekhar contested against Shashi Tharoor. That time the vote percentage was about 73.74%. I want to reiterate that difference between the vote percentage. When the 5% increase the vote share happened, it benefited, Shashi Tharoor. Because Shashi Tharoor got in 2014, about 300,000 votes. And in 2019, he got about 4,16,000 votes. And in 2014, when 68% vote share were cast, O. Rajagopal got about 2,82,000 votes. Whereas Kumanam Rajashekhar in 2019 got just slightly about 3,16,000 votes. So what I want to infer from here is when there is a vote share dip, then it is trouble for Shashi Tharoor. I think that is the relevance I want. Correlation. I'm maybe 100% wrong because generally based on vote share, I don't want to make any prediction. But if one looks at Trivandrum, the way the statistics shows when there is a vote share dip, then it is actually a reduction in vote share for Congress and not for BJP. When there is an increase of 5%, there are about 30,000 votes. So there is a strong base of about 3 lakh voters in Trivandrum for BJP. And the fluctuation, the swing voters goes towards Shashi Tharoor or to Congress. So when there is when I look at Trivandrum, the vote so far declared is about 64.55%. Compared to 2014 itself, it is about 4% less. Compared to 2019, it is about nearly 8-9% dip in the vote share. The significance of this is, if BJP's core voter base, which is about 300,000, 3 lakh voters stay, then Shashi Tharoor is in trouble. I think that is what the relevance that I want, a correlation that I want to make with respect to Trivandrum. I hope, you know, there is a clarity on that. Maybe, you know, when we look at... And second thing that I heard on Trivandrum, Rajiv Chandrasekhar visited some of the coastal belts, villages that BJP has never ever ventured into. So which means he is going to increase his tally beyond the 300,000 core voter base in Trivandrum. I think first ever time, I'm with confidence, I may say that Kerala is going to send at least one, if not three BJP MPs to the parliament. The second, another very important constituency that I want to talk about is a very prominent stronghold of BJP is Thrissur, where Suresh Gopi is contesting. Thrissur polled about 72.8%. Compared to 2019, there is another 4 or 5% dip in the votes polled. So, same relevance, same 2014, 2019 when I want to take up. There is a very bad track record for BJP there, but this time the very star candidate, Suresh Gopi, who had worked in that constituency, worked in that area for about 20 years, not as BJP, but as an individual. So, he has a very personal charisma to play with in Thrissur. So, this is a second seat that I'm hopeful from Kerala will send a BJP parliamentarian to the parliament. The last but not the least I want to talk about is Wayanad. Wayanad actually declared is so far is 72.7%. Even there is about a 7% dip in the voters. So suppose, you know, when consolidation error is corrected, there's still about 4 to 5% vote poll reduction in Wayanad. See, all these areas when I'm talking about, wherever there's a big minority dominated constituencies in Wayanad, about 20 plus percentage voter basis minorities. And this is one reason why Congress was literally, you know, talking about, minority appeasement, upliftment and all those things purely only for Wayanad. You can actually see from the next phase onwards, Congress will not talk much about the wealth redistribution. Congress will not talk much about minority appeasement because for them, the crown prince election is over. So that's all they are more bothered about. The crown prince election is over. And then they have appeased the minorities, especially the Muslims in Wayanad constituency. So, because he's facing two major opposition in Wayanad. Number one from Surendran, who is a BJP state president of Kerala, very strong contender, probably not going to win, but very strong contender. Then D. Raja, communist party's leader, D. Raja's wife is contesting against Rahul Gandhi. So Rahul Gandhi is going to find it as a very difficult to win from Wayanad. That's why, he's just waiting for that Wayanad constituency election to get over, and he'll nominate himself in Amethi also. Amethi or Ray Bareilly, but I think mostly Amethi, he's going to go and re-nominate himself just to have a safe seat. But Amethi is going to be much more difficult for him than Wayanad, because Smriti Irani has done extremely well in that constituency. She has done what Rahul Gandhi could not do or the Congress first family could not do for 7 decades. She has executed several development projects in last 5 to 7 years. Even when she was not an MP, she was defeated in 2014 from Amethi. And still, she has done, she was a minister, so she did extremely well in Amethi, created a base for BJP in there, and then BJP is consolidating there. And what the first family could not do in 7 decades, Smriti Irani was able to do it in the 1/10 of the period. And hence, I think Amethi is going to be extremely difficult for Rahul Gandhi. So, for both the seats, Rahul Gandhi, it's going to be difficult, is my contention. Before we take us next topic, just quickly talk about Karnataka. Karnataka is a very interesting election because, you know, it is happening in two phases. One happened yesterday and then second one will happen on May 7th. So the southern Karnataka, starting from, Mysore and south of, so except the Mumbai and Hyderabad Karnataka, 14 seats went to poll, I think 14 if I'm not wrong, yeah, 14 seats went to poll yesterday. And overall, the vote turnout has been 68.47% as it is declared. More or less in the same region, maybe 1 or 2% dip, but more or less in the same region. Two, three important aspects that I want to call about. Bangalore, central, north and south still in the 50s. 52-53%. They stuck to their trend. Only thing is they bettered slightly by about a percentage or so, or equaled 2019's poll percentage, but they have not crossed. At least Chennai, is polled better than Bangalore. That's all I can say. But both are bad. But Bangalore generally has a problem with voting percentage. I think Bangalore is going to be like this. One likes it or not. I think Bangalore has to wake up. But incidentally, before 9 o'clock, there was a huge crowd. 400-500 people in every booth were standing. And after that, it just quickly depleted. And then maybe in the evening, four hours, it picked up a lot. But overall, still, lower than expected. Or, Bangalore could do much better. Sir, one thing that I want to talk about in Karnataka election is when Modi went after Devagowda and BJP aligned with JDS, a lot of pollsters, a lot of analysts kept cribbing about saying that JDS will be a baggage and all. But there are some in my league were talking more about that's one of the best strategy or best alliance strategy that BJP has stuck with in Karnataka is to align with JDS. Whether one likes it or not, sir, JDS has about 10 to 15,000 votes in every assembly constituencies. And about if you take a parliament constituency, about a lakh of vote that they have. And mostly they'll transfer the votes. 80% transfer vote transferability happens whenever JDS alignment happens, whichever party is aligning with JDS. In 2019 also, we saw JDS Congress in a alliance. The vote percentage, vote transferability happened. So JDS actually transfers votes to, like BJP transfers votes to their alliance partners. So this alliance is going to actually help BJP win 25-26 seats out of 28 seats, if not even 28 seats put together. The reason I'm talking about this is if JDS alliance has not happened, even in the 14 seats that went to poll, 6 to 8 seats would have been a very, very difficult proposition for them. So, I think JDS alliance is going to help BJP in Karnataka, and that is going to probably consolidate. The second important aspect that I observed is the Mathadhipathis. The most of the religious mutt leaders went out to poll, went out to vote. I think, that is very, very uncommon in entire India, I would say. The mutt leaders, religious leaders generally don't go out to vote. Even in Tamil Nadu, if you see Shankaracharya, don't go to vote. I mean, they just stay away from politics and, so they don't go to vote. Similarly, in most of the southern India or most of the India, the Mathadhipathis, priests don't go to vote because, it's like a sannyasa. So they don't want to get involved in any of the worldly matters. But this time in Karnataka, we saw both Okaliga and Linga leaders and Madhwa mutt leaders went and voted for in the election. I think that is a very big significance. The third observation that on the ground that so far that I have made is that the Okaliga community is in general unhappy with D.K. Shivakumar, because D.K. Shivakumar has several promises which he couldn't meet up with, and that is why the Okaliga leaders are and the community was generally upset with the Congress regime. The fourth is the Lingayat community is staying with BJP. In the 2023 election, when Karnataka BJP lost miserably, the Lingayats actually voted in favor of Congress just to teach a lesson to BJP. But in this case, at least, you know, one could see that Lingayat is staying with BJP. And we need to see in northern Karnataka, especially Mumbai Karnataka, how they are being. We wait and see. The last question that I made is, I think BJP's candidature, all the stalwarts who lost the election in the assembly are all, contesting in the parliamentary constituency. So I don't know what is the impact it is going to have. I'm just making this as an observation. But is this going to cost BJP or is it going to help them? I think, you know, we need to see some more data post the exit poll data. When it comes only, we will know. But that's my overall assessment, observation on the second phase of polling. Both the first phase and second phase put together, there are about 102 plus about 88 seats went to poll, about 180 or 190 seats had gone to poll. I would actually with confidence say that BJP has already crossed 100. 100 to 120 is where their range is. So already crossed 100 in the first two phases. So one third of the election has happened. And BJP is already two-thirds off that one-third, seats went to poll. I think if this trend, and moreover, we need to wait and see the Hindi heartland, the bulk of Hindi heartland is going to come in third and fourth phases. So that's where the fun is going to be. So Rajasthan were completed, Tripura completed, and Tamil Nadu 100%, Kerala 100% completed. Uttarakhand, so about five or six states already, including taking the union territories, that five or six states and union territories, 100% polling completed. And the first two phases are the most difficult states for BJP. Say, for example, when you talk about Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Karnataka, because they just lost in the previous election. So when we talk about these itself is amounting to about 90 plus seats. I think these are the most difficult areas for BJP. Now the next ones to come as large Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, Telangana, and Odisha, Maharashtra, Gujarat, all strongholds, Himachal Pradesh, Haryana, all strongholds of BJP are going to come to a poll in second, third, fourth, and fifth phases. I think we'll see the behavior, voter behavior or voter turnout when these phases happen. So I'll pause there than my overall assessment of what happened yesterday.
Your apologies if you are seeing the video feed of Sriramji being a little blurred. I hope you can hear him fine. I could hear him fine. This is what we tried to fix before we went online. We tried a couple of combinations. We had to settle for the best of the lot.
Yeah.
Advance apologies. I'm sure it will pick up in a short while. Sriramji, one question that I keep thinking about is, couple of states, this information was made public, but in other states, this information was not made public. That is, fake voter ID cards. Essentially, these were duplicates. People were trying to game the system. I think I've said this thing in many of my Hangouts monologues, where if somebody is supposing his native place is in one village and he lives in another town, he gets birth certificate from both places and then he becomes an eligible voter from both places. And I think BJP has weeded out a bunch of these things. For example, 17 lakh fake voter IDs were removed in West Bengal alone. I don't think this exercise would have been carried out in isolation, Sriramji, my personal opinion. It would have been pan-India. But the numbers were not released as to how many fake IDs were found in other places. So there is a little bit of a question in my mind that perhaps there is a factor because of that also. Why I say this is because, see the dip. The dip is in places where the minorities are in substantial numbers. We have to correlate that, right? So this is my premise, sir. You can agree with me or disagree with me, and then we can go on to the more equally important topic of Tamil Nadu. Over to you, sir.
Definitely the water cleanup, the water list cleanup has been happening across the nation. And some areas, some states where political parties took up this as a challenge and then, went and contested with the election commission. So, moreover, it is still not 100% Aadhaar linked. So, voter ID linking with Aadhaar is not happened 100%. But when that happens, at least there will be a little bit of, much more bigger cleanup that would happen. You are right. I know for sure that Bangalore or Chennai, I have known many of my friends having two voter IDs, one in their Chennai address, one in their native place. So wherever they want to go and vote, they will vote. Maybe, in Tamil Nadu, they will collect money from both the places also, say, showing their voter card and then say, okay, when the parties distribute money, they will collect from both the places. But other than that, for convenience sake, they take a voter ID in both the places. It's actually the political party's booth agent's job, sir. So once again, I'm coming back to the booth agent's booth committee. Say, for example, when you take in Tamil Nadu, the booth committee should have been much more effective. That's what happened in West Bengal. West Bengal, the booth committee was very effective to go and, find out fake voters, contended that with the election commission and give a lot of proofs to remove nearly 17 lakh voters. Imagine 17 lakh voters is about a percentage or two, which makes or breaks, winnability of a candidate. Only thing is, it has happened in, most of them happened in the 24 Parganas districts where it is mostly infiltrators, right? So it was, in West Bengal, it is much more easier. So imagine in Tamil Nadu, I would say that at least lakhs of illegal Bangladeshis are living with passport, with Aadhaar card, with voter ID, in every other proof that one might think of. I want to quote an incident, Shriyaji, if people have missed it, to note it. Two or three weeks before, three Bangladeshis were caught in Chennai airport. They were returning, they went abroad and then for work and then returning. And 2016, they infiltrated to Tamil Nadu, got their residence permits, like your Aadhaar card or voter ID or license and everything. And then they applied for a Indian passport from Tamil Nadu, went abroad for work. When they came back, there was suspicion. When investigation happened, these people, the entire three member and then their family were all, illegal immigrants, right? Can you imagine how would one find this out? Unless otherwise, the booth committee is very vigil. Booth committee, works closely on the ground with the community. It is very, very, very difficult to find this out in the first place. Leave alone, complain about it, remove them, etc. But that's where, I find that the political parties have to be very clear on that. And I think election commission also has a lot of blunders. See, in Tamil Nadu, a prominent actor called Suri, comedian actor, his vote was missing. And I don't think anybody would have, when the enumeration officer goes to his house, anybody would have said that this guy doesn't live there. The second is, his wife had a vote in the same booth, but he didn't have it. I told last week, what happened to me in 2019, that my name was there in January. By about February, March, it was taken out or moved to different places so that, I can go and vote. Maybe because, there is a, end of the day, who does the enumeration for the voters? It is the state government employees. And the state government employees are loyal to one of the parties. Okay. I'm telling about across India. The state government employees are loyal to one of their ideological parties. So whenever they have an opportunity to take out a voter that will vote against their ideological party, they'll try to remove this. I think this is what is happening in across India, Sri Ayyarji. And I think, linking with Aadhaar and validation, and Modi was talking about one nation, one voter list. I think this is very, very important, so that If one nation and one voter list has to happen, then there has to be a common record of based on which the voter list has to come out. So addition or deletion happens based on your Aadhaar, for example, based on your movement from one location to another location. And then, you know, naturally for address proof, your Aadhaar, you will all, everybody will pay attention to transfer it to the new address. They will not do it for their voter ID and all. And then, you know, just before election, about five or six months before, go and apply for a voter ID there. If you are very serious about voting, then you get a second voter ID. So when, if it is linked to Aadhaar, already people know that, you know, this has been linked to Aadhaar and hence you cannot have a second voter ID. So all those duplications will be removed. I think it has to be serious effort has to be put into clean the entire voter list. I'm sure that, you know, across India, a couple of crore of voters can be removed very easily. Duplication can be removed very easily, which is significant, right? Which is significant when it comes to those numbers. So I think, you know, the Election Commission has a lot to do in this. Political party has much more effort in this. I'm not going to take away the responsibility of individual voters. If the individual voters don't pay attention to find whether they have their vote in that place or not, you cannot assume things. I think, you know, until such time the government comes up with a foolproof mechanism, one cannot assume that, you know, their vote remains in the place where they voted the last time. I think it's equally, I'll put the responsibility, maybe what the deletion etc. happens in the last moment, I wouldn't blame the individuals, because, you know, like me, in 2019 I checked in January, I didn't check in February and March enumeration list. And then my name was removed. So, you know, you could definitely give the benefit of doubt to the individual. But the political party and the Election Commission have a lot more responsibility. The first responsibility and accountability of the Election Commission. The second is with the political parties for finding these malpractices, sir.
Sriramji, one of the things that you need to look at as a country for Bharat is that you have to have the confidence of the voter. And this, in this case, if there is malfeasance, it should be very easy to find out, because every deletion would have been signed off by an officer. And there are gross omissions. Yeah. Like, there is one constituency in Gaundampalayam area of Coimbatore where a single booth had 800 names missing. Remember, a booth will take maximum 1500 maybe. How can you have 800 missing? One locality called Ramnagar had a very high missing numbers names list. And Sriramji and I and people in Coimbatore know which community majority lives there. In an Agraharam, which is in part of Tirunelveli constituency, 250 families found that none of them could vote. 250 families is 1,000 votes, guys. Again, whatever I'm saying, people who understand these things know exactly which community was targeted, because this community came out and said that they will vote for BJP.
Yeah, sir, this I know.
Sir, go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're right. This is what I said. The state government enumeration officers who go door to door definitely will find out who, based on your surname, based on your community, based on the data that they collect, they will definitely know that, you know, which side this voter is going to lean to a major extent, I would say. And the opposition party, like the DMK's booth management committee, 100% knows that who is going to vote for them, who is not going to vote for them, right? So naturally, the state government enumeration officers would, if the DMK party is aligning with them or ADMK is aligning with them to add or remove, naturally it would happen, right? But see, 800 people missing in one booth, Shreyarji, I think this is where I would say that political parties failed. The enumeration officer would come and say that I went to the house, nobody was there. I searched for a couple of times. I went there. People said that, you know, this person doesn't exist there, and hence I removed. Right. So the deletion, they have at least 7 or 8 reasons for the deletion, and they'll actually add that reason. And Of course, it has to be an alarming one, because 800 from a booth, the returning officer or the election commission official should have challenged, saying that how come 800 people all of a sudden missing, right? And the second responsibility, that's where I'm talking about, sir, is with the political parties. The booth committee would have known in a booth, 1,200 to 1,500 is a maximum votes in a booth. And one sees that, you know, half of that is gone. Naturally, it's the booth committees, this is a red flag for the booth committees. They should have immediately gone to the election commission and then contested. I think if you would have seen in Coimbatore, there was a big protest that happened a couple of days back. And, Sun TV and all is ridiculed, saying that people who voted came and protested. Of course, some of them told that, you know, we came and protested on behalf of the people who lost the vote, right, who didn't have the vote. So the question is, at least the district official have said that, you know, they'll actually investigate about this. And if that investigation finds that there is a bit of, anomaly in the voter list, then probably a countermand, that booth election has to be countermanded, and then, you know, re-election has to happen in that place. My point is, individuals probably missed it. How come the political party missed it? I think this is my big contentious question. Of course, election commission has the primary responsibility, especially when 50% of the booth, the voters are being deleted, then whoever approved it must be held accountable and then penalized and punished for approving that, right? Because I can understand, 10 voters are removed from a booth. There could be a logical reason. You know, they relocated abroad and then they don't have a vote, they don't reside here, all those reasons, right? Even then, you cannot cancel a voter ID. Come on, I travel abroad, 2 years down the line, I'll come back. Why would you cancel my voter ID, right? I think that's where the election commission has to strengthen the process of deletion, strengthen the process of addition to cross verify if someone is having a duplicate voter ID. So only way to do it is UID, uniform ID, which is Aadhaar. Link it mandatory 100% linked to Aadhaar. Otherwise, one cannot vote. And then your voter ID will be suspended. I think that is the only measure. So when that happens, naturally, people can go and verify. If 800 deletions happens, then one can go and verify that, you know, their Aadhaar card is still, intact. So why not, revalidate and re-verify, or, so one more person goes and verifies. I think, this process has to be strengthened, sir.
Also, a couple of interesting, variations on this. Many retirement communities which voted for the municipal elections found that their names were not there. Interestingly, these people don't go to work. They are homebound.
Right.
Whatever the reason the officer gave, that he took off the husband's name while the wife was at home, does not make sense. Sridhamji, I mean, we... As a country, right, India lurches from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. There is never an attempt to learn from what went wrong. And some of these things, right, you come this close and then you lose, and then suddenly everybody said, ha, 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 look, Annamalai lost. But he is saying 1 lakh votes went missing. 1 lakh. This constituency is what, 16 lakh voters, sir? 16 lakh, right?
Yeah, about 21 lakh
voters.
Number of voters is about 20 to 21 lakhs.
My goodness, that's a huge number. Yeah.
5% missing. Yeah.
So this needs to be. I don't know why the election commission hasn't even come out and said a statement. And the officer, the election commissioner of Tamil Nadu, did not explain why the numbers went down. Numbers going up is the logical consequence, not numbers going down. The man owes an explanation to all the voters.
Absolutely.
See, these have to be demanded. Nobody in no media is asking these questions. How can you just like that walk away with such a big number of votes missing? You have to make it. See, in some of these things, right, it should not only be fair, but it should appear to be fair, that people can understand, okay, this is what happened. This is, so if somebody padded it up, call it out. What is your problem?
Sir,
now it is
actually,
not Ganesh Puja. There is no kolkata in the mouth. Sir, go ahead, sir.
Sir, actually, you also posted a video last week, if I'm not wrong, on the conspiracy theory.
Yes.
I also wrote about it in Twitter on the conspiracy theory of what would have happened, right? So I spoke to a couple of returning officers in Chennai, so about why this had happened. So they gave me a very feeble response. One of them gave me a response saying that, see, it's a mandatory process for the booth representatives to send how many votes polled. Just one information, how many votes polled as of an hour. Every hour they need to report. So 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Because what they see is in the count in the electronic voting machine, right? Number of votes that have been polled, they see the count. All they need to do is just give that count by a text message to a common control, central command center. So they accumulated, update that in the election commission website, saying that how many, based on the number of votes polled, they put a percentage, right? So this time they said there was an app that was given to them where they need to go and enter. Instead of sending a text message, there was an app, so where they need to enter. So automatically it gets updated. So one of the things that this person said was, sir, by about 10 o'clock, we just say that, 220,000 votes polled. Overall, there is about 15 lakh votes. So the percentage 2 lakh is about somewhere around about 20 or, about 8%, right? 8 or 9%, whatever, let's take. Sorry, but 12%, let's say 15 lakh vote, 2 lakh 20% is about 12 to 13% vote. What they say is on the basis of the trend, it also projects by end of voting at 6 p.m., how much would have been polled. So they say that, election commission, state election commissioner picked up the data of the projection at 6 o'clock and then mentioned it. I fail to understand. If that be the case, why is that happened only in 12 or 14 booths of constituencies in Tamil Nadu, which means rest of the constituencies, the spread or the voting pattern happened very uniformly, that the projection and this were correct. The second is, why is that in 102 polling constituencies, only in 12 or 13 this happened, not in the rest of the other 60 outside Tamil Nadu? And yesterday there was an election in 88 constituencies, if I'm not wrong. There this problem didn't occur. So why is that a selective 10 to 12 constituencies this happened? So this is where the conspiracy theory is very, very strong, Shriyaji, that it's purely conspiracy. If you ask me for a proof, then only I can give a corroborative proof, right? So the booth representatives inflated the number from 1 or 2 p.m. onwards. Suppose if 220,000 votes had polled, they put 240,000 votes. So they kept booth is of 1,500 votes. So the booth representatives, they will say add 10 or 20 to the number. 600 polled, they put 620. And then by about 3 o'clock, 650 polled, they'll put about, say, 700, something like that. They just inflated the number, aiming to actually poll, the counterfeit votes after 6 p.m. Before the machine is sealed, it was more DMK. DMK wanted to actually do the polling in these areas, put up a counterfeit votes for about a lakh or votes or so together. But it was thwarted by the BJP or some very honest officers who are managing, returning officers in those constituencies, who actually prevented this from happening. I tweeted two polling booths where Vinoj P. Selvam in central Chennai went and did a dharna for when some of the goons who came to do the counterfeit votes, and then police actually drove them away. And this happened in two booths, one in Mylapore, one in another Ayodhya Kuppam or someplace. I don't know. I just need to check my tweet, where he had actually, after seeing my tweet, he called me and then gave me, "Sir, your conspiracy theory may be right, because I am adding a proof to your conspiracy theory. These are the two places I went and protested to prevent this counterfeit votes from happening." So, which means in two places, if it had happened, I can imagine that your conspiracy theory may be right that it happened in every other place, the 10 or 12 constituencies that we are talking about. I think Election Commission has a big, big responsibility to come and explain this. I'm sure whichever is a losing party is going to use this and go to court when the election results are announced. I'm sure that is what is going to happen, in my opinion, along with the significant number of voter deletions. Both together would be a big matter of contention post the election, especially in Tamil Nadu.
Sir, last, before we go to questions section, sir, I think we'll only take only two questions, please, because we have back-to-back Tamil program also. And then Tamil program, those of you who understand Tamil, do come back, because I have a lot more information to share in that, which is very specific. And I'm hoping that PMO watches this program and that program, because I'm going to share some things that I got from the field. And this will help you if that is, you have a mindset, Election Commission, if you have the mindset to really get to the bottom of this problem, it will help you find the people in no time at all. Because you have to make an example, whoever did this thing, this is a crime. The officers who indulged in this, they committed a crime. They need to be prosecuted. They have to be dismissed from service without pension. Name and shame them. Because see, this is the Tamil Nadu starts all these things, sir, and then slowly it starts going up in all the other states. Yep. I mean, these people are cleverer by half. Sir, another interesting coincidence, and I'll stop in just a few seconds. Another interesting coincidence, I had put a shot yesterday that, DMK is afraid, and it's very, very afraid. Forget about the results of MP election. And I had said that the money that these people have stashed away as Benamis in many countries are actually connected closely with PFI, which is a banned organization. How are they going to take it out? I had just asked that question. Lo and behold, where is Mr. M.K. Stalin headed with his family for vacation up to 5th of May? Maldives. My video came before this. And mine is not just one thing, sir. I've been tracking this drugs case from Australia side. I have information from there. I just didn't want to do all these things during election time, because people don't have the appetite for a very sophisticated crime that has taken place, because many countries are involved in that. So bottom line is that huge problem for DMK, regardless of whether they win for MP or not, election seats or not. You guys are, your goose is cooked. Let me put it that way, in the nicest possible way. If you don't understand what that means, ask PTR. He knows the lingo well. Sir, questions time now. Couple of questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Pawan Kishore wants to know, opposition is more active on social media claiming winning 2024 election for low voter turnout. Will this campaign really influence voters? As an NDA supporter, is it sign to worry?
Pawan Kishore, I think, generally one cannot decide based on the high or low voter turnout. Common indicator is there is a 5% delta, both sides. Especially the 5% higher vote is always considered as a wave. 5% lesser vote is also sometimes considered as a wave. There are exceptions to that also. Madhya Pradesh election in December 2023 is a big exception. There was a more than 5% vote. Of course, it was a wave election, but generally 5% higher voter turnout is a wave election against anti-incumbency wave is what generally is an assumption. But in Madhya Pradesh, it was 5%, more than 5% delta that happened, and it was a wave election, of course. So generally, the assumption is higher 5% vote is a wave election. In this case, what I see is, at least in Tamil Nadu that I observed, and then Karnataka, I spoke to several people. I couldn't go there yesterday. but I spoke to several people. The indication is, there is a low voter turnout means that, you know, it is not a negative sign for both the parties. I'm not going to say it is good for NDA, good for, Congress, but it is going to be a balanced one. But what one needs to see is these are the states where the ruling party is opposition, there is opposition of BJP, whereas the election is happening for the incumbent government. So it's very difficult to apply a sociological theory saying that what lower voter turnout, people are going to stay with the government of the day. So which government? Is it the central government which is incumbent or the state government which is there? So I think it is very difficult to predict based on the voter turnout alone. We need to see exit poll data, and then much more analysis can happen when Form 20 is filed as to which booth, how many turned up and etc. I think that is where the big analysis that is going to happen only post June 4th, not now. But I don't see there is going to be a worry, because I still maintain that, you know, BJP will win 330 plus. I still maintain that. Because this is what I said in P Gurus, if you remember, sir, several months back, yes. 331 was my number, right? Exact number was 331. I still believe that it is not going to go below that. It will go above that.
Thank you, sir. And JVC Sriram was on our channel yesterday with a forecast for Telangana. Very promising there also. Right. So there is a wave. There is a pro-Modi wave. So there is a pro-Modi wave and anti-DMK wave in Tamil Nadu. There's a pro-Modi wave, anti-Congress wave in Telangana. In Telangana, somehow BRS has still not really found its footing. So a lot of interesting facts came out, or observations came out, I should say. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Next question from Magnet Ranga. Namaskaram, I had predicted lower voting percentage in Bangalore as they have fixed Friday for voting. People enjoy long weekend. Shouldn't firms make holiday conditional to those who vote?
So, Magnet Ranga, absolutely a good suggestion. But the problem is Bangalore, even if you keep on a Wednesday, a voting day, this is what happens. I think, you know, this is a curse of all metropolitan cities, in my opinion, except Kolkata. Same thing happened, and maybe Delhi also. Delhi also goes to a big number. Mumbai, Karnataka, Bangalore, Chennai, always sub 60%. It's a big curse on, these metropolitan cities. Bangalore, some people give me an excuse saying that, they have vote in, like similar to Chennai. People have vote in their own area, their own local place as well as in Bangalore. And hence, they decide where to vote. I don't buy that argument. That's just an excuse. At least, if you had one should surrender that. It is illegal to have vote in both the places. But, I don't buy that argument. But I think, people have to be more responsible is what I say. Maybe a firm's holiday is conditional for those who vote. Cannot be made as a, condition, because voting itself is not mandatory constitutionally, right? So, and hence, it's very difficult to make that condition also.
Next question, please. Anshuman Singh wants to know, sir, Indy voters didn't come out in large numbers, had polling in Noida and Ghaziabad around my area. It was all BJP. Are queues, considering new voters, isn't maintaining the same percentage? Impossible?
I think, good question. Because wherever I heard that there is a lower voter turnout, it happens to be that, committed voters alone turned up, right? The floating voters probably didn't turn up in a big way. So your observation may be right, Anshuman. And, the same percentage voter turnout is happening. Of course, each constituency would have few lakh, new voters, people who turned up 18. And probably that is what is keeping the voter turnout at similar percentage to 2019, give or take. I think that's what is happening. So, which means the existing voters are not coming out to vote. I think one interesting point, when after the Tamil Nadu election happened, I was talking to, in one of the debate, one of the ADMK leader mentioned very interesting fact. We as a political class, he mentioned that, you know, he called himself and he, when he was talking, we as a political class probably not inspiring voters to come and vote. That's probably right, because there's no motivation. There is inspiration to go out in a big way to vote. Oh, same old guy. Yeah, what am I going to do? If I don't vote, also nothing is going to happen. I think that voter fatigue is setting in. Maybe, you know, that could be one of the reasons. I'm just, because that was a very interesting point that is coming from a politician. Is a very interesting to learn that.
Next one. This is the last question, sir. Sarvani Tumuluri wants to know, sir, low voter turnout seems to be indicating that Congress voters are giving up because no money is being given and candidates are not doing campaign in many constituencies.
Sir, Sarvani, one could assume that, but I wouldn't put that as a main reason. Like I said that, most of the committed voter base, right, would turn up. And then only the floating voter will think that, okay, what am I going to do with the voting? So in that floating voters who thinks that, you know, they were voting against BJP, they think that, okay, anyway, BJP is going to win. Why should I waste my time and effort to go and vote? Maybe that is the reason. But lower voter turnout, another reason is also because of this significant amount of heat wave. I think that also one is to take into account. People come out to vote before 10 o'clock in a big number, and then 4 to 6, a big number in between, nobody turns up or very few people turn up. I think that is also another reason. Maybe subsequent elections should not happen in the month of May, April, May. They should always move it to December, January timeframes for a better voter behavior. I'm just assuming that that could also be a reason.
Yes, indeed. And Anshuman Singh has an observation. 300 meters away from my home and near a school, 3 BJP stalls and 1 Congress. I don't know why there was one woman who was sitting there. That's all. Well, that tells you that, yes, there may be some motivation challenges also. I mean, it's very easy to get demotivated when you have kind of leadership that the Congress party continues to have. That is a no-brainer. So, Sriramji, thank you so much, sir. Take a break for water and bio break, and then we'll be back again in 3 minutes, as a matter of fact, and we'll be starting our Tamil session. Those of you who understand Tamil or who would like to understand Tamil, please come join us, because there's a lot of new information there, in addition to some of the stuff that we discussed here. Thank you, sir. Namaskaram. Thank you.